Glory to God. Let's go into the world this evening. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your great resurrection. We are grateful. With a grateful heart, we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the simplicity of God's word. With meekness in our hearts, we receive God's word this evening. And we declare and decree that there is no contradiction in this atmosphere. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. We declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 28. Let's start from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. We are still in that great series. I'm sure you know. We haven't come to an end yet. We are still dealing with salvation. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Now, in recent times, we've been looking at the gift of salvation. And in more recent times, we've been paying attention to the instruction that comes with the gift of salvation. We've been trying to pay attention to the instructions that come with the gift. And we say the instruction is summarized with the word go. And Jesus says go. And the going is with a purpose, and it says, go ye therefore and teach. So the purpose of going is to teach, right? We say the word there, teach, is the word to make people disciples, to make people students, right? To train people, to teach people. And it involves the dissemination of information and also the dissemination of instructions. Are we together, right? So the great commandment, which we call it, is a commandment that actually deals with an instruction, so to say, or a combination of information and instruction that is to be communicated from a believer to another believer. Praise God, right? We look at Mark 16. That is Matthew's rendition of the 40 days teaching, quite a summary. But Mark 16, 14 or 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach. Same thing, go. Yeah, go ye into the world and preach. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel, right? And it says to every creature. Now, every creature doesn't include animals, right? Are we together? Yeah, so the word creature will just be a summary for mankind. Praise God. Are we here? Beautiful, right? So go into the world and teach and preach and preach the gospel to every creature. He is used to symbolize male and female altogether. So he that believes includes a she. So he/she, right? So he covers the he and she. So he that believes, it says, what shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. And now says this sign shall follow. So this sign follows every he that has believed the gospel that has been preached. Are we here? He that believed and is baptized is saved. Now, this sign shall follow them that believe. So, the them that believe includes both the male gender and the female gender. Praise God. So, if you are human and you have breath in your nostril, it means that you are one who can, or you can listen. It means that when you hear the gospel, there are signs that can follow you. There are signs that are to follow. What are signs? Signs basically are pointers, to give a better word or to give a simpler word. A sign can be that which points to something else, right? That's so when we call healing signs and wonders, or we call miracles signs and wonders, we are trying to say that miracles point to a miracle. Are we together? So when you see God heal the sick, it's a proof that God can heal the soul of a man. Are we together? Are we here? When you see the healing of the sick, it's a pointer, it's a sign, right? So both signs before the resurrection and signs today after the resurrection all point back to what? The resurrection. Are we together? Right? So signs are not in the past. Are we together? So signs before the resurrection, signs after the resurrection, they both point to the resurrection of Jesus. So the fact that a man can rise from the dead is a sign to show that though we were dead in sins, we can come alive in Christ. We can come alive by God's power. Are we together? when you see a restoration of a sick man to a healthy man, it means that a man who is sick spiritually can receive the indwelling of the Spirit and he is full of what? Health. That's sound health. Praise God. So this sign shall follow he that believe, every single creature. Yeah, he says in my name, look at verse 17. This sign shall follow them I believe. In my name they shall what? They shall what? Cast out devils. Praise God. Say, I cast out devils. I can cast out devils. So in my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. They shall speak with new tongues. So there is a tongue or there is a language that is unique to a man who believes. Are we together? So whilst you might have believed the gospel by hearing the gospel in English, in Yoruba, in Pidgin, in Hausa, there is a language that comes with the spirit you've received. That's what the Bible calls new tongues. A tongues, a gene of tongues that has never existed. Are we together? It's not a modified tongues, right? It's a language that comes with the spirit. It's a language of the Spirit whereby as believers we give expression with our mouth and our tongue. Praise God. So number one, they shall cast out devils. Number two, they shall what? Speak with new tongues. Number three, they shall what? Take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So these are supernatural signs. So it means that there are supernatural signs that are to follow believers upon believing the gospel being preached. Are we here? There are supernatural signs that are to follow the believer upon receiving salvation. Now look at it this way. Yeah, Romans 1 tells you that the gospel is the what? Power of God unto what? Salvation. So the power of God to save is found in the message of the gospel. So when a man receives the gospel, what happens to him? He has received of God's power, and God's power he has received saves him. Praise God. It's foolishness to the world, but that's God's wisdom. Hallelujah. So embedded in words is a message to save. Praise God. Let me say it this way. Embedded in words is the power to save. So, when you receive the power that has saved or that saves, Bible says that this sign shall follow. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So, once you can operate in one, you can operate in all. Praise God. Praise God. So, once you can operate in one, you can cast out demons. You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Are we together? See, can a man full of the power be sick? Yeah. Can a man full of the Holy Ghost be sick? Yes, a man full of the Holy Ghost can be sick. But can a man full of the Holy Ghost also lay hands on himself to recover? Yes, because the Bible doesn't say they will lay hands on other sick. Any sick, including yourself. Are we together? You see, a very good way to grow in the laying hand of hands, or laying on of hands rather, or in the healing gifts, right, is by laying hands on yourself. Are we together? You can lay hands on yourself till you see a result. Yeah, it's something I do regularly. There are a lot of times I feel very tired, feel very weak. I know I'm feeling a little sick. And now, that is not to displace or take away the place where, you know, there's medical help that is supplied to mankind and all of that. But sometimes you can just, whilst you are going or whilst you're looking for that, you lay hands on yourself. Yeah, there's sometimes you can feel pain in your body, lay hands on your body and it goes. Right? Because it says they shall lay hands on any sick and they shall recover. So these are supernatural signs that come with the supernatural birth. Amen. You see, being a new creation, is a supernatural birth that occurs to a man. Praise Jesus. Except a man be born of water, which is the what? Spirit. He cannot what? See the kingdom of God. Yeah. So being born of water, that is the Spirit, is a supernatural thing that happens to a man. So think about it this way. You hear the gospel, right? And upon hearing the gospel, you believe the gospel, and the Bible says something has happened to you. Yeah, Ephesians 2 tells you, and he quickened, who were sometimes what? Dead in sins. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. So, have you believed the gospel this evening?
Yes.
Let me hear you well. Have you believed the gospel?
Yes.
Do we have people who have believed the gospel? So, what are the things that comes with the gospel? Supernatural signs. See, supernatural signs. Say, I live a supernatural life. You see, a believer can actually live a supernatural life. Are we together? Yeah, you can actually live a supernatural life. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can live a supernatural life. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. So this sign shall follow. You know, like I said over time, if dressing modest is all you have as a sign of being a believer, then you are yet to start. There is a long journey ahead of you. There is a long journey ahead of you. If all you have is sticker on your door, there is a long journey ahead of you. You know, some of us, all the supernatural we know is a sticker on our door. Yeah? Once the New Year sticker comes, what happens? We paste it at the back of the door and at the front. So if the front one doesn't work, the back we... Unfortunately, you don't paste it on the window. That's why robbers in Nigeria use windows more. Because no sticker comes on the window. Praise Jesus. Yeah, but if all you have is, see, if all you have a supernatural sign is sticker, there's a long way to go. If all you have a supernatural sign is rosary, there's a long way to go. Yeah, if all you have a supernatural sign is paper Bible, there's a long way to go. You know, some of us, we put Bible under our pillows where we sleep. All together, you've not seen demon that will beat you with the Bible. And they'll pick the Bible and beat you with the Bible. Yeah, you praise Jesus afterwards. You see, in the real sense, yeah, there is so much more to the supernatural that... See, let me say it this way. There's so much more supernatural about you that you don't know. Let me say it this way. There's so much more supernatural... There's so much more supernatural ability in you that you have not paid attention to. Yeah, you can say the same to me. There's so much supernatural ability in me that I've not paid attention to. Let me say it this way. There's so much supernatural ability in you that you are willing to admit. That's a different one. There is so much supernatural ability in you than you are willing to admit. Yeah, you know what it means to believe the gospel? And you know the ripple effect. The effect of believing the gospel is that God in his mightiness dwells in you. That great man of war. Hallelujah. 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 You know this song? Jehovah is the man of war. His mercies endured forever and ever. So praise his holy name. Yeah, that great man of war lives in you. That great man, see, it's a supernatural reality. Are we together? That's why when we sing, he is more real than the ground we are standing on. Some of us don't, it hasn't dawned on us. It hasn't dawned. See, it's easier to see and believe. You know, right? It's easier to see and believe. And now we are seeing this ground you are seeing, the God in you is more real than the ground. So it means that there is so much more you need to pay attention to as a believer than you are willing to admit. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Yeah, God in me is more real than my eyes seeing her. Hallelujah. God in me, God in her is more real. The reality of God, God's indwelling in her is more real than what she can say about me. That's right. The things of the spirit, even though can be communicated with your sense organs, is actually way more than sense organs. Praise Jesus. So, he says, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall what? Cast out gospel. Cast out devils. Are we together? So, if Jesus says this sign shall follow, and believers don't have those signs following, it means that believers ought to be taught well. Do you think those signs follow the apostles in Acts of the Apostles? Why do you think so? They were taught well. So if Jesus teaches them well, or Jesus taught them well, it means I have a responsibility to teach you all well. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. So you see the apostles and the things they operated in. Supernatural things, supernatural deliverances, supernatural, you know, healings, great things, working of miracles. Yeah, that same spirit is in you. But you need to sit down to learn of that which you've received. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So, faith in the gospel already automatically qualifies you as someone who believes in the supernatural. Did you hear what I said? I'll say it again. Faith in the gospel already qualifies you as someone who believes in the supernatural. I'll say it one more time. Faith in the gospel already qualifies you as someone who believes in the miraculous, in the supernatural. So, it's almost... it's almost a negative thing to say. You don't believe in the supernatural, but you believe in the gospel. What a joke. Yeah, you cannot not believe in the gospel and not believe in the supernatural. Because believing in the gospel is believing in the supernatural. Yet you are told that when you hear the gospel, the Spirit of God comes into you. That's supernatural. Are we together? Except you want to say, I don't believe in supernatural excluding the gospel supernatural. No, you see, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So by faith, the man of God, or the man of the gospel, or the man who has believed the gospel, has been born into a heritage. Which was correct? An/A. Right? Okay, beautiful. So a man of the gospel has been born into a supernatural heritage. Is that better? Okay, yeah, okay there. Yeah, so a man of the gospel has something called the supernatural he has believed. So faith in the gospel is by extension faith in the supernatural world. Hallelujah. So that's why I know I was saying something last week before I got distracted. Yeah, see, a believer cannot afford to be pessimistic in life. It's anti-scriptural. What you've come into is an optimistic life. Are we together? I'll say it again. What you've come into as a believer is an optimistic life. You cannot afford to be pessimistic, else you will not operate in things of the Spirit as you ought to. Are we together? Think about it this way, right? You come for a believer's meeting and pastor or leader or your group, yeah? You are hearing something that is very, very accurate, right? But you rather not see what if is correct. You see what if is not correct. That's pessimism, right? Are we here? Yeah. Optimism will say, I trust the Spirit of God in me, I'll say it. Pessimistic say, you will not add the clause, I don't trust the Spirit. But by extension, you don't trust the Spirit. So you cannot afford to be a pessimistic person as a believer. Now what I'm talking about is not just about the Christian faith. It's about your life generally, because the Christian faith is just a wedge, yeah, that holds every other aspect of your life. Are we together? The Christian faith is, we build our life around the Christian faith. We build our lives around the gospel, right? So, because they are linked, if you are not careful, your slant to life or a part of life will affect your slant to the gospel. And also, your slant to the gospel will affect a part of your life. Are we together? A slant of your heart will most likely affect the slant of the gospel, or the gospel around you, or the gospel side of you. And a slant of the gospel can also influence. So you are not one who should be seen as a person. None of the disciples were pessimistic. None, not one. You cannot point to any of Jesus' apostles, right? For what you see in the book of Acts, and Jesus himself, and sense pessimism. Are we together? They were always expecting God's power will work. Are we together? Yeah, you know, so you might be like, oh no, I want to try and separate my... So when it comes to the gospel, I want to be optimistic. When it comes to real life, let's face facts. I want to be pessimistic. It will always interject. So no matter the situation, no matter whatever condition you find yourself, always believe the best of that solution, or of that condition. No matter how tight the corner is, always believe the best. See, there are supernatural signs that follows the believer. The believer needs to stay in a place of optimism to see them work out. Are we together? You are a supernatural being. You are way past a natural being. Right? So when we see a believer, we see a supernatural being in a physical body. Hallelujah. When we see a believer, when you see yourself, when you see a fellow believer, right, you are seeing God indwelt by a physical body. But that's a supernatural man. Praise Jesus. So, no matter what the situation is, always look forward to the best. It will help you when you want to heal the sick. What happens? See, if you are one who, for instance, you apply for a job, for instance, you are always expecting they will bounce you. This is where it will affect you. You would want to lay hands on a sick person, right? So if you've gotten to a place where you are always expecting they will bounce you, yeah, applying for jobs, right? Yeah. What will happen is that in the real sense, you will find a sick person in front of you and you will not believe that you can heal the person. Check it very well. You will not see anyone who God has used mightily in the WhatsApp group of pessimism. Not one. Now, see, there's a difference between when you trust God's power, but there's a sense of doubt around you. You know, there are some crucial sicknesses that will come in front of you, or diseases in front of you, and you too, you will shiver. Are we together? There are some like that. But the truth is that despite what comes your way, always believe in God's power in you. Always believe in God's ability in you. Always believe in that which God has put in you. See, worst comes to worst. That is why you now see Jesus with our 3 disciples. Rejoice not in the fact that devils are casted out, but rejoice in that supernatural reality that's eternal. So eventually, with your optimism, if you try something, it doesn't work, there is such a comfort in the supernatural already in you. Are we together? Are we here? Let me go back again. Faith in the gospel is automatically means you believe in the supernatural. How many of you have seen Jesus here before? I'm not talking of the one you saw in your dream. How many have seen Jesus physically? Right? You just physically, Jesus just came to your kitchen and knocked. Some people, it's Jesus that washed plate for them. Some people, it's Jesus that, you know, Jesus is a servant leader. Jesus came to my house to wash plates. He tidied up the house. You know, people say the most of things, really. But in the real sense, you've not seen Jesus before, but you believe there's Jesus. Do you believe there's Jesus? Are you sure? How do you know there's Jesus? Oh, because he lives in you. Beautiful. How do you know he lives in you? What changed? She has entered. She doesn't know. What changed? When did he enter you? Let me just prepare your mind. I will ask questions that you cannot answer. Yeah, so when did Jesus enter you? Just feel free. Don't worry, just feel free. Don't be ashamed, eh? There are other people around you that will ask the same question. They will be looking like you. Eh? So it's just interesting that you are here today. Yeah? So, you don't know, right? But you know he lives in you. He lives in me. He lives in me. He watches. Hallelujah. Praise God. White and black, white socks, white gloves. Oh, glory to God. It's good to have good childhood. But the interesting thing is that our children will not really have a lot of what we enjoy. Because everybody now is everybody laptop, everybody. No, but us, when we were is this a Boy Scout? Brownie. Is it Brownie? Girls? Brownie? Brownie, right? No, not everybody can relate. It's not every school they did Brownie. Some school is just praise Jesus. So, in the real sense, so what I was saying before I left with that was that a believer ought to be optimistic. Altogether. Yeah, you know, I don't want to get disappointed. That's why I'd rather not try to lay hands. Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Recover. They shall speak with new tongues. Praise Jesus. So your slant or the slant of your heart reflects in other aspects of your life when it comes to the gospel. Now let me show you something quickly in Luke 24. Let me show you what Jesus did in Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 24. Please follow what I want to say right now, okay? Luke 24:24. And certain of them which were with us went with us to the sepulchre and found it even so as the what? Woman had said. But him they what? They saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken, ought not Christ to have what? Suffered these things, and to what? Enter into his glory. Verse 27, 1, 2, 3, go. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So the word there, interpreted, he expounded, there is the word that means to interpret. Die emenio. Right? The word there, emenio, means to interpret. The word there, die, is the word that speaks about two. Right, so die Emmanuel is to interpret. Did you get that? Yeah, number two, interpret. So a combination of die Emmanuel is to interpret. And it's not far-fetched. It just simply means that there are two surfaces that are being considered. Are we together? So, Brandon, so what language can you speak well? Can you speak French? Okay, the one that is for our Nigerian border. So, in the real... In the real sense, if I say, quelle est la date aujourd'hui? Now, did you all hear me? Yes. Beautiful. Did you understand me?
Yes.
Okay. Let me do a different one. Kelesu sent Aunt Itafont. Now, did you all hear me? Did you all understand me? Okay, so let's assume that is French. But in the real sense, this is the point. Yeah, for him to interpret what I said, it means he needs to understand what I said. Or he needs to understand the language in which I spoke. Are we together? So, for him to interpret, he will pick ke la la dat aujourd'hui. That means what's today's date, right? Eh? Okay, ke la la dat aujourd'hui. So, he will pick ke la dat aujourd'hui. And I say, interpret it to him that understands English. How many languages will he be, will he have in his mind? Number one, English. And number two, French. Right? So, when we say D. Emmanuel, it is interpreting across two languages. So, will what he will do involve translation? Will what he will do involve translation? So, it means that he will translate while interpreting. Altogether, he will translate while in. So he's trying to interpret what I said to him, and he will need to pick my words to translate it to him. That's what Jesus did in Luke 24. So Jesus was a diamenio. He interpreted across. Altogether, yeah. So Jesus speaking the Greek, for instance, will be reading scriptures in the Hebrew. Are we together? And you want to interpret what the Hebrew writer said. Or what was written in Hebrew in the Greek what? Language. So it means that while interpreting it, he will need to what? Translate. Are we here? Beautiful. So let me show you a typical example of what that really means. Look at Genesis 14. Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14, 17. Look at Genesis 14, verse 17. And the what? And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return. Look at verse 18. And what? Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth what? Bread and wine. And he was the what? Priest of the Most High God. And he what? He blessed who? Abraham. And he blessed him and said, blessed be what? Abraham of the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And Abraham became what? Richer. Oh, it's not your Bible. Okay. And Abraham became rich. Is it there? Okay. So, you are in Genesis 14. Are you in Genesis 14 now? Go to Genesis 13 quickly. Look at Genesis 13 verse 2. Are you there? And Abraham was what? Very, is it rich in your Bible? There's very. That very has a different Greek word, a Hebrew word. There is Abraham was what? Very rich in cattle, in silver, and in. Was Abraham a wealthy man? Was he stupidously wealthy? Beautiful. Look at verse. Look at chapter 14 now. And look at chapter 14, verse 14. Genesis 14, 14. Are you there?
Yes.
And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he what? Armed his trained servants, born in his own house. How many of them? And pursued them unto Dan. Okay, hold on. Was Abraham very rich? Was he rich in cattle? Was he rich in gold? Was he rich in silver? Please, was he rich in human being? Find it in a place in your heart to admit to. Jesus, Abraham was rich in cattle, silver, gold, and human beings. 318 men born in his house. These are men that will have family. That's excluding their family. And Abraham was taking care of all of them. So, was Abraham rich before he met Melchizedek?
Yes.
So, did Melchizedek influence his riches? is it what a, okay, so in the real sense, Abraham was very rich before he met Melchizedek. Melchizedek's meeting with Abraham did not influence his wealth to any degree. I've heard someone say something very interesting, that Melchizedek was Jesus who came to collect the tithe of who? Abraham. Yeah, because, you know, if you read that scripture, you see that Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of it. What's a tenth? The tenth is just the word that means 10%. Well, tithe, so to say. Right? That's just 10%. So, why did Abraham do it? See what? Now, guess what? Abraham gave tithe from his killing and stealing. Okay, you're not sure. Look at the Bible. You're not sure, right? Look at, after he took 318 men, verse 15. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and they smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. Paul of Damascus. Right? And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother and his goods. Listen, and what? And the what? The woman and the people. Abraham defeated cities to the point that he took the woman. What is Solomon before Solomon? He took the woman. You know, in those days, when a king wins a war, he becomes the ruler of what? Of the kingdom that he won. Why do you suppose Abraham won the battle? He had 318 people. Why do you think he had 318 people? He was wealthy. Altogether. So, he took the woman. Altogether. How many nations did Abraham defeat? Check. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dales. Now look at verse 20. And blessed be the Most High, which had delivered thy enemies into thy hands, and he gave him what? Tithe of what? All. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham, is that not trading? Okay. And Abraham said unto the king of Sodom, I've lift up my hands unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of what? Heaven and earth. Now hold on. That's the first mention of Melchizedek in the Bible. Altogether. Now, how many of you heard or used to think or think that Melchizedek had no father or no mother? Right? Okay, past tense. Okay. So it's not past, present, continuous. It's past. Okay. Now, what did Moses by interpretation call Melchizedek in verse 18? King of what? Salem. Go to Hebrews 7. In Hebrews 7, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. Are we there? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of what? The Most High God, who what? Who met who? Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings. Is that an S there? And he what? Blessed him. Hold on. To whom also Abraham gave what? A tenth part of what? What did Genesis 14 tell you? Tithe of all. What did Hebrews tell you? Now, first being, see what Hebrews does. Where do you suppose the writer of Hebrews is reading from? Genesis. What does he now say? He says, first being by interpretation, king of what? Righteousness. And after that, also king of what? Salem. Which is what? King of what? Peace. Go to verse 3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. So, first of all, Melchizedek kills kings, and he gives a tenth. And Abraham kills kings, and he gives a tenth to what? Melchizedek. What does the writer of Hebrews What does he do in Hebrews chapter 7? He tells you that what? The first meaning by interpretation of Melchizedek is what? King of what? Righteousness. The word there, Salem, is the Greek word what? Shalom. All together. That's what? Peace. So that's righteousness, peace. Righteousness, peace. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, so think about that. By interpretation, the name has a meaning. Remember when we were teaching the early part of this salvation series? There was a man whose name was called when he dies, it shall happen. What's his name? Methuselah. Who gave him the name? Who was Enoch? Who was Enoch? His father, right? So Enoch, his father, called his son Methuselah, and the interpretation, so by interpretation, it means when he dies, this shall happen. Melchizedek is written in the scriptures by who? Moses. And the name Melchizedek by interpretation means what? King of righteousness, king of Salem, which is what? Shalom, which is what? Peace. And king of what? Okay, which now says which is. You see which is in the Bible, king of peace. So it means that Melchizedek as an interpretation will point to a king that will rule in a certain way. What way will that king rule? Righteousness and peace. Are we together? Listen carefully. Melchizedek will point to a future king who will have a kingdom and will rule in, and that kingdom will be ruled by righteousness and peace. So it means that the king that Melchizedek's name by interpretation points to will fight a war. And what war will he fight? The war of peace. All together. So when you see Hebrews tells you he has no father, no mother, go back to chapter 5. Then you know that Hebrews is a confused man. Peradventure a woman. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. Oh, you didn't get that. You know, I was fighting that Hebrews will know the author. Could be in general. So for every priest, are you there? Hebrews 5:1. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For every high priest taken from amongst men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. That he may what? Offer both gifts and what? Sacrifices for sins. Was Melchizedek a high priest? What did Melchizedek offer when he saw Abraham? And bread. So the first use of wine and bread is not in Matthew 26. All together. The first use of wine and bread is from who? Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? A priest. Who is a priest in Hebrews 5:1? One who is taken from amongst men to offer things to God regarding sin. So if Melchizedek was offering bread and wine, what was he talking about? How sin will be sorted. Are we together? So Melchizedek will talk about how sin. So when Abraham stands in front of Melchizedek, Melchizedek brings what? He brings out bread and wine. And Bible says that Melchizedek was blessed. Right? The word there blessed will mean to welcome in, to include. Are we together? To bring into. Yeah. So Melchizedek blessed Abraham in the fact that Abraham will believe the message of the gospel that God will handle his sins. Or let me say it better, that the king of righteousness will handle his sin by the war of peace. Are we here? Yeah? The king of righteousness. So Melchizedek means what? King of righteousness. King of Shalom, that's Salem, which is what? King of peace. So the king of peace is the king of righteousness, which is the king of peace. The king that Melchizedek's name by interpretation we point to is the king who will rule a kingdom through. So it will make things right by fighting the war of peace. Look at that again. So look at Hebrews 5 first. Hebrews 5 tells you for every high priest, dear saint, is Melchizedek a high priest? Yes. What did Hebrews 5 tell you about high priest? Is ordained from amongst men. So was Melchizedek picked from amongst men? Yes. So when Melchizedek, when Hebrews now tells you without father, without mother, without descent, what is he really telling you? Moses wrote it that way for you to see where he is pointing to. Let me ask you a question. He says, king of Salem. Are we together? King of Salem, is Salem a place? Do you suppose Salem was a place? So do you suppose that he was literally a king of a place? Do you suppose that he can come from the blues and rule that place? Check your village now. He must come from within the people and be picked from amongst the people to be given a responsibility of what? Bread and wine, so to say, forgiveness, all things regarding sin. Are we together? Imagine you're in your village, one man just come and say his name is, I'm now the king of Abeokuta. I'm the king. And everybody just say, you're welcome, my royal majesty. Even the closest person that could have done that, Jesus, see what they did to him. You don't understand? The closest person that could have come from blues to come and rule. See what they did to him. They were angry that he called himself the Son of God. Imagine what they would have done to Melchizedek. Are we together? So Melchizedek is the template of the royal priesthood. Amen? Yeah. First Corinthians, First Peter. For ye are a chosen generation, a what? A what again? Holy nation, a what again? Peculiar people, right? Chosen generation. Royal priesthood. What is royal priesthood? Royalty will deal with kingship. Priesthood will deal with the act of being a priest. So who was Melchizedek? A royal priest as a template of what Jesus will be. So Moses' way of writing about Melchizedek is to point your attention to how Jesus is directly from the source, which is God. Are we together? So it really means that in the real sense, the heritage that you will see, it's actually directly, that's where the teaching of Son of God will come in, right? So the heritage that you will see is directly from God himself, so to say. So Melchizedek by interpretation will mean King of Righteousness. So it means that Melchizedek by interpretation is a message of the gospel. Is that true? Are we here? What is Melchizedek? King of Righteousness? King of what? So, it means that Melchizedek as a name will point to a king that will have a kingdom. Right? And he will be a king that will, by peace, supply what? Righteousness. Praise God. So, you see Jesus did the same thing. You see the writer of Hebrews did the same thing. Praise God. Are we here? So I took you quickly to that to go and see Hebrews 7, interpretation of righteousness, and all of that. Praise Jesus. So the bread and wine of Melchizedek is a pointer to what Jesus will do with his body and his blood, which is in reference to what? Sins. Praise God. So what Jesus did in Luke 24 was to expound. See what it did today. I tried to interpret the story of Melchizedek and I had to do translation. Remember I said Salem? Translated to be what? Shalom. Translated to be what? Peace. Altogether. I tried to interpret Melchizedek's story, and in my interpretation of Melchizedek's story, I had to involve languages. Altogether. And I had to involve what? Translation of languages. Very, very important. Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, it says, study to show thyself as what? Approved unto God. A workman who needed not to be what? Ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The word they're rightly dividing is the word that speaks about carefully mining or carefully handling the truth. So it means that as saints, we need to look through scriptures and carefully handle the scriptures. So we don't just gloss over scriptures. Hallelujah. We don't just rush through scriptures. Hallelujah. We don't just do beat, batch, beat, seal, pa, full stop. No. We pay attention to Bible study. Now, that's the same thing that applies or why you have, or by implication, why we have the gathering of saints. You see, the physical gathering of saints is not an option, but an instruction. Are we here? I'll say that again. The physical gathering of saints is not an option, but an instruction. Altogether. I'll say it again. The physical gatherings of believers is not an option. So it's not either or. Yeah, so you come this service, don't come this service, or you come that service. No. It's not an option for the saints. And I want to show you why. You know, Jesus gathered them for how many days? 40 days. I was teaching them back to back. And what did he ask them to do when he finished teaching for 40 days? Tarry in Jerusalem until you be what? Endure the power from on high. Are we together? What do you suppose the act of tarrying involves? Staying together. Did they all go to their houses to wait for the Holy Ghost? Did Jesus say go to your houses and when you're in your house, you start feeling a sensation, your left leg will just be going one direction and you will not be able to control it. But when you do like this and it goes the other way again, just know that it's time to meet at the tabernacle. He didn't say all of that. What did he say? He said what? Tarry ye in Jerusalem. Tarry, wait. So they waited. That's an instruction. So if you pick instructions of the consistent teaching meeting in Jesus Christ, it means you have to pick instructions from the what? Instruction to gather and to stay together. Praise God. So did Jesus want to please them? Do you think Jesus was the goal? Jesus's goal was to please the people. Imagine Jesus just came, guys. What do you guys want? Are we here? Imagine you say, Jesus, come, guys, how far now? You say, I want to teach for longer, but what do you want? Just name it. Nations of the inheritance? Just name it. You know, and you just say, Apostle Paul, Peter, you say, Master, see, before this your death, we saw you teach and teach well. You are a good teacher. You know, but truth is that when you are serving the world, they can also be serving food. Yeah, you know, just so we're not careful. You know, some of you, if they attach food to our meetings, you will never miss our Sunday service. You know, just as you're serving the word, let those people in Acts 6 serve the table. That's before Acts 6 came. They already saw ahead. Let them just serve the table. You know, Pastor, there's something called refreshment. Pastor, you can't be talking for long. You just say, come by 9 o'clock and you just pray till 6. Pastor, you're not even refreshing our souls. You're not refreshing our stomach. There's supposed to be tea, coffee. You know, Pastor, let me suggest something. See that table that's at that side? Let's bring it to this side and we arrange cup. We put mug and we put electric kettle beside it. You know, if dispenser is expensive, then just buy pure water. Anybody that wants to just tear it and warm more water. And just as you are blasting in tongues. I remember when people used to, when some of you that I see laugh, we used to eat garden egg during prayer. You're laughing. Don't laugh louder than your neighbor. Some of you will be eating garden. One of my friends, like your brother. My friend, he will just chew one garden and just hold his mouth here. That's all for I don't know how many minutes. And when it is doing small, he settled down small. He chew it. And then he realized that we were praying for 7 hours. He used 9. He used 9 to eat garden egg. 9 out of 7. What the figures, bitch? You know, Pastor, Pastor, we can afford rice. Pastor, just serve rice. You know the difference between turkey and turkey? You know the difference? The turkey is the one that is foreign. Turkey is the one that is dead. You don't understand? You know there's some turkeys you see in some basins and you say, these are dead turkeys. And interestingly, turkey is now the most expensive protein. Let's be eating snake and all those things. You say, Genesis 3 is still in your mind. You need to renew your mind. You know, but imagine they did that to Jesus. Jesus wasn't after impressing the people. You know, Jesus, we know what we can do. See, you know, because we want people to come. You know, Jesus, just teach for the first 2 hours. You know, even 2 hours is long. But just because, you know, we want you to get to a reasonable place where you can put comma. See, after we'll just have tea break. Interesting, you have people in our day and time, you have tea break or it's rice they are eating. He will go for a conference in your office. you say you still break. They bring samosa, you want samosa and rip up, and you are throwing your mouth. Some of you eat, you first walk on, and you finish walk on, you throw the pack away, you pick another one, as if you've not eaten before. You know, that is the generation we find ourselves. But the truth is that if they can stay committed for 40 days, you can. Don't receive the spirit they received alone. Receive their discipline. You get that? It's easy to say, yes, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name is a caster. There is such a thing called the discipline that comes with the word salvation package you've received. Permission to use the word package. You know, that word package used to scare me a lot. You know, I used to teach about how the package of salvation, you know, in the salvation package, right? Come again? Well? Exactly. You know, see, salvation package comes wealth. How can you be saved and not be wealthy? Check it well. Check who saved you. Yeah, I feel, start checking. Yeah? Bible says he's one that owns 5 million castles on 5 million hills. What he cannot do? Cannot be in existence. Do you understand? So, in the real sense, when you think about what Christ has done, it should spur in you an ability to labor. It should spur in you an ability to be committed to gatherings of saints. Because that's where we're really heading to. So, don't be one who, you know, if I attach $500. Let me just say $100. Let's just say $100 per hour of prayer. Take it to 2 hours. If I want just $100, say anybody that stays for 1 hour, that's then some of you will come and say, Pastor, we are praying 5 hours in gospel as 5. So you are in disobedience to scriptures. For starters, let's do, because all of you now, you converted. Oh, how many of you have not converted to Naira? All of you are saying 57.5. All of you, I saw your calculating faces. You've converted it to Naira. So sharp, you already say times 10 hours. Because it's fast to do times 10 hours. That's what, 575. Again. But you know that if that's the way it is done, people will be committed. If I say, take $50, even if it's 50, take $50 and just sit down to God's word for 1 hour, you will stay put. You will stay put. You will be looking for it. So you cannot afford to be that one who is always coming to the garden of sin looking for chicken or beef. Chicken or beef, prefer or turkey. You know, beans or porridge, you know, in the real sense, they'll be all right. So, in the real sense, yeah, you cannot be one who should. So, we're not babies who we need to use all these things to attract you. All together, yeah, they do robots, they divide the price by 50, they sell it, they blow. You buy it. I clean your mouth. Are we together? Yeah. In the real sense, you need to not be that kind of believer. Are we together? when you think compound. when you think, you know, the market structure in Nigeria has shown a lot of us pepper. And a lot of times, when we say this thing, we stay from a place of, let's just say a place of love. Because God is love. But you cannot afford to be that kind of person who... Altogether. So, the believer should be enticed based on the fact that the gathering of saints is doctrinal. That should be your enticing mechanism. That it's a doctrinal approach to life. It's a doctrinal approach to local church. We don't have to look for things to pamper our egos before we are committed to things of God. Yeah, because in the salvation, that's what took me there, salvation package. Are we together? Yeah, you know, in the salvation package, everything is included. No, that's not true, man, sir. Yeah, the salvation is not, first of all, there's only a package to the degree in which you are right doctrinally. Yeah, the salvation package doesn't include, how do we say that here again? Health, wealth, and, okay, yes, eternal life. Okay, favor, some of them is four, favor. Yeah, so you have health, you have favor. And when he has said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, what? Peace. John, where are you? We're supposed to know where I am already now. John 20, verse 21. Are you there now? So verse 21, then Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so what? Send I you. And when he had said this, he what? He breathed on them, and he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, the word there, breathe, is not the word. So let me give you an example. Where do you suppose Jesus would take the concept of breathing from? The writings of the prophets, generally, what you call the Old Testament books. All together. Now, you would have thought that Jesus started bringing their nose close to himself, and and Peter will just respond, wow, I'm alive. Thomas will now come. No. 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 The Bible is a combination of both literals and what figurative. You cannot afford to understand that. Now, let me give you a little background of the word breathe on them. Now, look at Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. You are the love of my life. Are you in Ezekiel 37? Look at verse 5. Are you there? Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will what? Cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So it means that the breath of the writings of the prophets supplies what? Life. So it means that the breath that Jesus gave to them gave them what? Life. So it means that Jesus... Now, how did you receive the life of God? Is it by Jesus breathing into your nose? No, by believing the gospel. So how? What do you suppose was happening in John chapter 20? The breathing, was it in the saying or with the physical demonstration from nose to nose? It was in the saying. Right, so remember the story of the dry bones where we read Ezekiel 37, right? Son of man, shall these dry bones come alive again? Dry bones shall rise again. Lord Jehovah, able to do all things, is able, dry bones shall rise. Oh yeah, dry bones shall dry bones shall rise. Are we together? Yeah. So obviously, where did this man grow? Is my neighbor. So in the real sense, the conversation the conversation of Ezekiel as a prophet with in the valley of dry bones was a pointer to what Jesus by his breath will do to man in the valley of sin. Are we together? Yeah, I'll say that one more time. Ezekiel will look at dead bones, and God will ask him, can these bones rise again by faith? He says, yes, these bones can come alive, right? And he says, God says, I will breathe into them and they shall have life. That is a type, that is a pointer to what will happen in the resurrection, such that we who were dead in sin, yeah, we had those bones dead in the valley of what? Dry bones, yeah? We were once dead in this valley of sin and death, right? And what happens? By extension, there is such a thing called breath. And when we receive the breath, what happens? We come alive. Look at John 21 again. So Jesus did that interpretation as well. Look at John 20 again. So he says in verse 22. So when John now tells you, and when he had said this, he breathed on them, right? And said unto them, that word dear breath is the word emphasuo. Emphasuo. Pray for us. EMPHASUO. Emphasio, and it's what that means to enliven, to supply life, Right? So he says, and when he has said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now the word they receive is the Greek word what? Lambano. Yeah, that's the part I'll take note of. Lambano. And let me just put a stop to this here. And we'll continue from there. The word there, lambano, is not just a word that means to take one off and stop, but a word that means to continuously take from. Are we here? You know the word lambano, to lay hold on something. But it's continual, to take, it's a present continuous. I'll show us a few examples, but I'll show us on Sunday. Present continuous. Okay, we're starting the series on Revelation on Sunday. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Beautiful. So, imagine you have a tap that water is flowing from. Praise God. Imagine you have a tap that water is flowing from. And I say lambano from it. Yeah? It's a continuous ability to go there with a bucket and keep fetching from it, taking from it, receiving from it. So when it says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, yeah, it's not a thing that will happen one-off. Are we together? Now, we see that in the book of Acts chapter 8, after they had gone to Samaria, and the Bible says that after they had preached, they received the Holy Ghost. And we're able to explain that there are two kinds of receive in that Acts chapter 8. One is from outward in, and one is from what? Lambano, inward out. Yeah, so this lambano here is something that will be a continuous. So, let's use the example. Imagine a rushing water that you always have to connect a pipe to wet your garden. Are we together? Yeah. So what do? There is always water at the tap. You need to just get water supply from the tap to what? Wet your garden. So is that a continuous act? So that's a continuous act that the believer or the slant he needs to have. Are we together? So the word they receive will speak about a continuous feeling, a continuous thing that is that's required of the believer to do. Praise Jesus. I'll end here quickly. One of the most important things that a believer needs to pay attention to is the recognition of fellow believers around him. That's very important to take note of. One of the most important things that a believer needs to pay attention to is the recognition of fellow believers around him. So it means that when believers gather together, we have what you call a supernatural meeting. What makes it supernatural? Because supernatural men are gathered together. Hallelujah. Yeah. So whilst we call this place God's Palace Church, or we call the place the church, in the real sense, we see the doctrine of the church, the degree in which men full of the Spirit coming together to fellowship. Are we together? You know, like on Sunday we started, yeah? He said, we will be blessed because I came. That's what a spiritual meeting, a supernatural meeting is about. Where two supernatural men, by the Spirit of God, influence each other or supply so many things or supply what God we have to be supplied amongst the saints. I'll close here for today. So, in the real sense, Jesus says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Now, by extension, it is an instruction, like we said, and it comes with both information and instruction. Now, one of the instructions you see in Jesus' after 40 days teaching is that tarry ye in Jerusalem. It means wait there, stay there. Yeah, gather together. That's why you see in Acts 1:13-14, while they were praying, they were together in a room. Are we together? They were together. In Acts 2, believers meeting, when people saw clothes of fire upon their head, what happened? They were together. Acts 2:13, when they came together and Peter was talking, they were together. When 3,000 souls were won after his teaching in Acts 2, what happened? They were together. In fact, it's interesting to know that, like I said, over time, the reason why they sold their properties, including Ananias and Sapphira, was because people who had come from different locations did not have a place to stay in Jerusalem. Are we together? So, for them to have sold their properties, it means that they understood the importance of the gathering of saints. Dear saints, when saints gather, I said that's interesting. When saints gather, right, things can change. Directions are given. There's clarity. There's a sense of purpose. You have the gifts of the Spirit in operation when saints gather. Yeah, so I'm trying to teach us something. Honor the power of God and the supernatural ability on every single believer that is around you. Are we together? Honor the ability of God in every single believer. You see, as saints, let me tell you something. You cannot choose who God will use for you. Are you here? How many of you can choose? Say today, God, don't this pastor, I don't want him to minister to me, or I don't want this, or let's even say money. Yeah, you cannot choose who God will use for you. Right? Learn the culture of seeing God's mighty hand on the life of people. Why? Because by extension, in the real sense, we've been asked to go into the world. Right? And we cannot afford to not honor ourselves and want people to honor us outside, for instance, or we even have a sense of honoring people outside. You might ask yourself, what is there to honor? The truth is that God's mighty hand on your life is what it is, something to honor. Are we together? Are we together? So we don't see ourselves as mere people. We are supernatural beings that come together to foster fellowship. Praise God. Praise God. So one of the most important things for you as a believer, when you come to church, for any meeting, when you come to the gathering of saints, is you recognize. So what makes the gathering of saints supernatural is the acknowledgement of the supernatural ability that the saints who are present already have in their possession. Hallelujah. I'll continue for maybe on Sunday. Maybe I'll teach twice on Sunday.